So yeah, absolutely. But we can't, I mean, short of putting an electroshock in the stick, I'm not sure where else to go.
What's the next steps? You win this award. What are you going to do with the
So
money?
our really talented set of 12 engineers is working on something we call V4. This box is designed to be built by hobbyists. So all our information is published on GitHub with instructions and a parts list and everything else. And there's folks that are not like me that are actually talented and can solder this stuff together. And they've built about 20 or so of these in the field, the instructions. But now that we want to try to get more of these things out, we've got another 30 of these sitting aside from low-rate initial production that we're going to give out to beta testers. We're developing the V4, which will be a little bit more integrated, easier to build, inexpensive technology, we hope. And we're adding some things that we've learned, but you'll be able to buy that, hopefully through Maker Plane, for not much more than this costs, and then come with a schematic and wire it in. So they wrote the schematic for me, and I'm the least common denominator, so.
So several of the people we've had come in here today have visual displays, and obviously you're audible. And so there's a trade-off there, right? There's a financing or how much money are you willing to spend on this system? Do you think you're scratching that itch exactly with only audio, or do you think adding that to some visuals?
Well, that's why we came up with that. That's a visual display. It's optional. You don't have to have it to have the system work, but it's there. Now, the simulator doesn't have airspeed and G on it, so I just said put everything you need on the airplane to maneuver it. So it's got AOA trend information, airspeed, and G. So basically, it defines the north side of the flight envelope. And the barbells are in LRD max condition. And then there's a non-dimensional unit like a T-38 up at the top, so that's your percent lift. If you have to look at something.
I'll put the mic on that.
Thing that I found a little distracting was in the video, the tone kept changing, and I didn't see the attitude of the airplane actually change, and I couldn't see the control stick. So it was just confusing that the tone keeps changing when the glide slope looked like it was remaining
Oh,
kind of flat.
that was a wind shear encounter. The airspeed was jumping around 15 knots while that was happening. So typically, you fly a slightly fast condition for that, and then you transition to on speed as you get close. But I mean, we're engineered for 4 Gs per second, which is what, 128 foot per second gust load? But it was just a really, that's nasty day. That's the worst case scenario I could put. That's why I decided to put the video in the brief. Yeah, normally on a normal day where you got everything nailed, it's just a steady on speed tone. And the feedback is actually so good, it's very easy to fine tune your AOA. I mean, it's more like squeezing the stick than moving the stick.
Very good, back. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Now we're going to try something a little different that we haven't done before, and I'm getting some looks here from the judges. We're going to try and talk a little bit about some of these products and debate and give you a glimpse of what it looks like behind the scenes as we're talking all this through. And so I wanted to get people's feelings on this. Dick, I get the impression that you really like the audio part of this.
Well, there's a lot to be said there. Obviously, I've got a little experience with that. Personally, I like a combination of visual and audio, so you've got more than one if possible. Currently, on a lot of the newer equipment, we're getting this already. Our RV12 LSA airplane, either with the Garmin or the Dynon, I'm pretty sure at least the Dynon, we have an audio tone very similar to this, an increasing beep. And everybody that's experienced it loves it. We also have a visual display, which is unfortunately right down in the EFIS itself. In other words, you have to look down to get it. Any visual that I really like is right up in your line of sight, more like a HUD, but not specifically a HUD. Just a display that happens to be on top of your dash. So that's kind of what, from my experience, that I would be looking for, not only from mine, but from the other pilots I've talked to, the people that fly the airplanes that we're supplying.
So, Greg, what do you think about the idea of changing symbology, right? You have airball in here, but you do have FAA standard HUD symbology. Would we be confusing things if we put forward something like that? What are your thoughts on that?
I think there's going to be a very steep learning curve. You're going to have to reprogram people. And one of the big issues, of course, you're going to have to reprogram the FAA. And that in and of itself is going to be a real challenge. But, you know, one of the things about human factors, and everybody that's sitting here that's a pilot understands human factors to an extent, and that is, you know, what are you comfortable with? And then what do you get into too much information overload and the symbology? And all of a sudden now you're staring at something trying to not only assimilate what it's telling you, but then process and then execute. And then you got to re-execute. Meanwhile, that airplane is still motoring along at 2.5-3 miles a minute, you know, and you're doing a lot of different things. If we can standardize it, then I'm in agreeance with it. I like the visual, but I definitely like the oral because I'm looking out the window. I am not staring in the cockpit. So I think that from a human factor standpoint, if I go out and investigate an accident and they have this system in there, I'm going to have real trouble trying to determine, well, did they get confused by, you know, some of those.
So, Mike, you told us a little bit about your Red Bull experience. So tell me a little bit about audio versus visual.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to talk about.
I was a non-believer in the audio system until I started to use it. And I'm a big believer in it and wish it was in airplanes. But as I look at and think about the presentations that we saw tonight, there's a lot of things that are addressing one aspect of what we're trying to do. But the one of the things I think that they're missing is how do we train the pilot? And when I look at loss of control situations, I think of a few things. Is the airplane coordinated? What's the G load? And where's the nose, right? And I think the more technology we put into airplanes, we're still missing training the pilot to think about those three things. And so, and then the other thing that I worry about is that we're either going down a certified route or maybe an experimental route, but I don't see a lot of crossover. And because we're trying to affect change in all of aviation, general aviation, and not just one small segment of it.
So you're doing this upset stuff. Do you think there's a lot of values to those expanded envelope exercises?
I do. You know, when we talked about it, I looked at the 6090 exercise and I asked for a reason. What are we trying to get? Is it what the ailerons feel like going from stop to stop? Are we trying to introduce the concept of what adverse yaw looks like? Because a slow speed, high aileron deflection means adverse yaw, which means out of coordinated issue. And then, or how much are we trying to turn the airplane? How hard can I pull on the airplane at traffic pattern speed when I'm banking? So all of those things, when I look at it, I think, yeah, that's great. We're teaching them maybe the startle factor of a hard bank, but what are we actually trying to teach the aviator
right.
as a result?
And I'm going to ask this of Dave, so if you can pass it down there. Dave, what do you think about airplane limitations there? Are there any concerns with these expanded envelope maneuvers
in
the airplane?
Well, when he mentioned that, you know, he didn't care about speed and it was well below VA. VA is a magic number for different airplanes. The Kit Fox VA is right at pattern speed. So I thought that was a little bit dismissive and probably an area that I'd want to look into more. I also was a little bit disturbed in that I'm a flight instructor and, you know, every maneuver that I teach has a goal and a purpose and a graduation level. And just, you know, slopping around, moving the stick, I don't know that that has that big of a benefit.
Greg, it looks like you want to add something to that.
If you look at the ACS, it tells you, at least the FAA expects this, that as a flight instructor teaching a student, that student has to have a mastery of those maneuvers.